Charles Darwin stood motionless at the mouth of the cave, his serge trousers pooled in a ragged heap around his ankles as a pteranodon soared in the blue morning sky.
Good God, man.
Stanford Rubicon pushed away the crudely stitched together palm fronds he had been using as a blanket.
How long have you been standing there like that?
Kneading the sleep from his eyes, Rubicon clambered over the loose stones to where Darwin stood by the ashes of last night's fire, taking a moment to glance out from the lip of the cave to the steaming jungle below. The sun had risen over the jagged claws of the mountains to the east, and it was shaping up to be another beautiful day in hell. Darwin's rheumy eyes swiveled in their sockets toward Rubicon, filled with pain and humiliation.
There, there, old chap. Don't fret.
Rubicon pulled up Darwin's trousers without fuss or ceremony.
Soon have you mobile again.
Using the makeshift shovel, little more than a piece of curved bark tied with twine to a short stick, Rubicon gathered up a few pieces of their dwindling coal supply. It was only enough for 3 days, perhaps four, and that was if they didn't use it on their cooking fire. Rubicon blanched at the thought of getting more. The only seam they had found near enough to the surface to be extractable was, unfortunately, only 100 yards upwind of a tyrannosaur nest. He considered the few black rocks on the shovel, then tipped a third of it back onto the small pile. Darwin would just have to not exert himself today while they considered their next move. Arranged at Darwin's stomach was the unwieldy yet vital furnace that kept him mobile, and, though Rubicon was still mystified at the science behind it, alive. Beneath the aged botanist's torn shirt, now more gray than white through lack of starch and washing, copper pipes and iron pistons snaked over his body in a dull metal matrix, bulky with pistons and shunts at his major joints. Darwin must have gotten up to relieve himself in the middle of the night, and the amazing yet grotesque external skeleton which ensured his longevity must have seized up, as it was doing more and more frequently in the past month. He arranged the meager lumps of coal on a bed of kindling and pages torn from the books they had managed to rescue from the wreck that had stranded them there 6 months ago. With the kindling started, Rubicon shut the little metal door to the furnace. Then he cast around for the oil can and applied a few drops to the joints of the skeleton, still unable to stop himself from blanching as he saw the pipes that were sunk into the flesh of Darwin's chest and at the base of his neck. The skeleton was the work of the eminent scientist Hermann Einstein, and it not only allowed the old man to move, but also pumped his heart and did God knows what to his brain. Sometimes Rubicon wondered if he would ever understand the modern world, but looking out into the lush green jungle below, he wished beyond measure that he could see London again, its soaring spires, scientific mysteries, technological puzzles and all. In short order, the old botanist started moving again. He turned his milky eyes on Rubicon.
Stanford, I fear I cannot endure this purgatory another day.
Rubicon patted him on the shoulder, the ridges of pipes and tubes warm now beneath his hand. He looked out across the jungle.
Not long now, Charles. Help will come.